Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are here with us and the fathers that are not with us today. Everyone stand with me as we praise. Put your hands together. Come on, kiddos. Knows no bounds. Your goodness never stops, and in my follows me. Your kindness fills my life. Your love amazes me. Come on, sing. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good. Good to me. Nothing and no one comes anywhere close to you. The earth and oceans deep only reflect the truth.
That fade are never enough. then you came along. Put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love.
Father, it's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before you say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. 'Cause you're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect. With me, 'cause you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Oh, it's love so undeniable. You call me deeper still as you call me deeper still as you call me deeper still. You are a good, good Father. You are a good, good Father. You are perfect in all of your ways. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Hallelujah. He's a good, good Father, isn't he? Come on, give the Lord praise today. Put your hands together. Give him praise today. You're a good Father. Lord, we worship you. We bless you. We exalt you. You are good, Lord. You are good. Thank God. That's who God is. That's what I'm going to be speaking about today. The good Father. He's a good, good Father. Amen. And you know, Jesus said in John chapter 16, in verse 23, he said, in that day, that's the day we're in now, he said, you will not ask me for anything. He said, whatever you ask the Father, He will give you. He said, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Our Father is a good Father, and He's a God who loves us. He's a God who wants to answer our prayer. He said, if you call on me, I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty things. I want you to know, here at Ascend Church, we believe that Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. We believe here at Ascend Church that Jesus is still the healer. He's still the provider. He's still the deliverer. He's still the protector. He's still the miracle worker. Amen? And let me tell you, whatever the Lord did when He walked on the earth, He's still doing it today. He's doing it through His body. That's us, the church. And so at this time, before we sing our final song, we want to pray for anybody that needs prayer, whatever it may be. I want you to know that when you pray, things happen. When you pray in faith, miracles happen. And whatever miracle you may need, we've seen so many miracles take place. Maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you're suffering with an illness. I want you to know that it is not God's will for you to be ill. Jesus took our sickness and He took our pains, and He wants us to be well. And we want to pray for you. The Bible says the believer will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. If you need healing today, I want you to come for prayer. If you have a financial need, let me tell you, the Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. We'll pray for you. If you need a job, if you need restoration in your family, you say, Pastor Steve, I just want to see my family restored. Our God is a restorer. He can restore what the enemy has taken, what the enemy has broken. In fact, He'll restore it better than it ever was before. Amen. So I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come and help me today. Help me today, Robin and Brian and Nadine and Tom and Anna and Barry. Come and help me pray today. If you need prayer, these people know how to pray. And we love you. Jesus loves you. The Father God loves you. Don't be shy. You're in an atmosphere of people who care about you and non-judgment. And we all need prayer at some point in life. So I want you to, this morning, and we're going to pray. And I believe God is going to meet every need in Jesus' name. You know why? Because He's a way maker. He is the way maker. He is the miracle worker. He is the promise keeper. He's the light in the darkness. I don't know what you may be facing. You say, Pastor Steve, you don't know what I'm facing. I don't. But I can tell you this, that He can make a way where you don't see a way. He can make a way when you don't see a way if you'll just look to Him and trust in Him. So come this morning, let us pray. Church, let's sing it together. Thank God for our worship team this morning that are leading us and helping us. But listen, they're not here to sing for you. They're here to sing with you. Lift your voice unto God. The Bible says if we don't give Him praise, the rocks will cry out. I'm not letting any rock praise God in my place. Lift your voice and sing it. Lord, You are a way maker. You are the promise keeper. I want you to know that when you sing these words, something happens on the inside of you. When you begin to talk about how great God is, when you begin to magnify the Lord, then your problems become smaller. Instead of magnifying your problems, magnify the Lord. Instead of talking about how big your problem is, talk about how big your God is. Amen. Come on, let's sing it out together, everybody. He's the way maker.
Everyone loves this song, so sing with me.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship You. I worship You. You are here, working in this place. I worship You. I worship You. You are here, turning lives around. I worship You.
you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Come on. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Come on, sing it. You, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. Sing it. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, come on, sing it, come on. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. My God, that is who you are. Come on, one more time.
Tell the Lord that is who you are. You're the way maker. You're the miracle worker. You're the promise keeper. You're my light in the darkness. Amen. I want to pray for everyone who's watching us online. We're so glad that you joined us today. All of our Ascend members, we want you to know we miss you. We can't wait to see you again. But I want you to know I pray for you every day. I lift you up in prayer every day. And whatever you may be facing right now, there is... There is no distance in prayer. Just as the Lord is here with us, He's with you right now. I want you to receive this. I'm going to pray. Father, I pray for every person that is watching online, whatever they may be facing. I thank you that you're the way maker. I thank you that you are the miracle worker. And Father, I ask you to meet every need. I ask, Lord, that you would heal everyone who is sick in their body. Let your healing power flow through their body. I command all sickness to go in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for everyone that has a financial need in their life. I thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. You're the Lord who provides. I thank you. I ask you to provide every need. In Jesus' name, those who need a job, I pray, Lord, that you'd open the door for them, that you'd bring promotion in their life, that you'd bring provision in their life. I thank you for bringing restoration in families. I thank you, Lord, right now for wisdom, direction, guidance, favor. Thank you, Father, right now for just doing miracles in people's lives. Thank you for making a way where they don't see a way. We look to you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout out, amen. Amen. If you're watching online, say amen. I receive that. That's for me this morning. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be in God's house today. This is the day the Lord has made, and I rejoice, and I'm glad in it. There's nowhere else I'd rather be today. I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't rather be in the best hospital in town. I'd rather be here. I'd rather be in the best jail in town. I'd rather be right here. No matter where you can think of, I'd rather be in the house of God. David said, man, one day in your courts is better than 1,000 days anywhere else. One day in God's house, in God's presence. Amen. Why don't you turn and welcome someone. Tell them you're glad to see them. Welcome them this morning.
Ascend Church this morning. So glad you're here with us. Welcome to those watching online. We're glad you're part of the service today, because you certainly are. We got a lot of little people in church today. I like to see that. But we're so glad that you're here. I know that a number of people are coming back slowly as they feel comfortable, but as Pastor Steve said, we miss you. And we're so thankful to have you in church this morning. We have an expectancy. How many of you come to church with an expectancy? Right, we don't come as a duty. We don't come just because, well, sometimes the first few times we come, it's because somebody's dragging us along. But eventually it's because we have an expectancy of meeting with God. Amen. And some of that happens during the worship. Because as Pastor Steve said, when you begin to sing those words, you begin to magnify God, faith starts to rise in your heart. You begin to see your circumstances differently, right? So it begins right there, but then we go into the Word of God and ministered to and fed, and we walk out of here. I think if you could see us in the spirit realm, you'd see that we would walk out straighter and stronger and taller. Because of faith that's implanted in our hearts when we gather together. Amen. So wonderful to have you in church today. I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We have a number of visitors with us today, and we don't want to embarrass you, but we'd like to just honor you right where you are. We'd like to give you a visitor bag. So if there's anyone for the first time, would you just wave your hand that we could welcome you? Come on, family, let's welcome them. Anyone for the first time, God bless you. Come on. Thanks, Usher. Just keep your hands up until you see them. Thank you. Just keep your hand up till you see them. And we want to thank you for being here. There's a white card that says guest. We ask you to just take a moment and fill that out. And at the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. We ask you to drop that in. And we don't want to harass you or call and ask you for anything. We'd just like to find out how you enjoyed the service and see if we can be of service to you in any way. So thank you for doing that. And like I said, we're screening on Facebook Live. We're on ascendchurch.us. We're on YouTube. We're on our mobile app. And so there's various ways to watch. And if you want to share that today, that's a great way to reach out to people in your world who would normally not come to church with you because of distance or because they just don't know yet. So go ahead and share that. We appreciate you doing that. And I want to remind you of the four purposes of our church. The first one, everything we do revolves around this. The first one is we want you to know God. No, we don't want to know about God. Everybody knows about God. We want to get to know Him more and more each week. Amen. Second of all, we want to help you to find freedom in every area of your life. That there's freedom. We come to God as we are. But as we walk with Him, so we become free of fears and past and all the things that have somehow held on to our lives. Thirdly, we want to help you discover your purpose. Because each one of us, the Bible says, each one of us has a purpose. And we're going to discover that together. And lastly, we want to help you to make a difference with your life. Amen. And so welcome to Ascend Church. Thank you, my dear husband. We have a couple of things. We are... It's
praise
happy,
the Lord. We're having
happy,
baby happy, dedication
we
today,
are,
right?
It's Happy Father's Day.
That's right.
And I wanted you to be on the stage.
Oh, okay.
You are, he is pops to all the grandkids and dad. It's such a blessing in our lives to our children. They always speak very highly of him and honor him. And we appreciate, it's a bit soft, isn't it?
Yes.
We appreciate that. But I want to wish a happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Why don't you stand up where you are, all the dads. Just stand up where you are. Come on, give them a good shout out. Come on.
Remain standing for a moment. Dads, just remain standing for a moment. Praise God for men of God.
Yes.
Mighty men of God.
Amen.
Who are fathers. You are raising champions for the Lord.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Right. You know, can I say something? You know, I was thinking, we were just having a discussion. We've had all our kids and our grandkids in the house, and they are young families. And even in talking to them, they even talk about regrets they already have of things they've done or didn't do or should have done. And I know as you get older, there are more regrets. When you look back and you say, I could have done that differently. But I want to remind you that there is grace. There is mercy. God is, we thank you for what you have done for your children. And you know what? Let's just get better at it. Let's just say from today, the things that I didn't do, that I didn't say, that I should have done, maybe I have to apologize for some things and I need to move on and become that father that I really want to be. Amen. Why don't you pray over the dads?
I will. You know, the scripture says, honor your father and your mother that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. There's a promise attached. When you honor your parents, the Lord honors you. He says it'll be well with you. Amen. And so we honor all our fathers, all our dads today. And I want to pray over all the dads today. Amen. Won't you stretch your hands toward them and pray with me? Father, I thank you for all these fathers in the house today that are raising their family in the ways of the Lord. You said, train up your child in the way that they should go. And when they grow old, they will not depart. Yes. Lord, I thank you for giving these fathers grace. I thank you for helping us, Lord, to be good fathers and to raise and teach our children that they will follow after you. I thank you for blessing every father today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, blessing every family today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Give the fathers one more big round of applause. Will you do that? And then we also are having baby dedication today. And I'm going to ask all the babies who are being dedicated, please will you come to the stage and bring your parents with you? Parents, come with your babies. We have four babies being dedicated and children. Come up and stand up here with us. We're gonna pray. Let me just take one. I know. Now, as they come forward. Yeah, come on, Robin. You can bring all the kids if you want. Bring them all. Bring them all. Bring them all. Come. Bring them all. Wow. Come on round.
Aren't they beautiful?
Now here. You know, let me just, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures because some people ask questions about, do we baptize babies? Now, when I was a baby, I was baptized, or they called it being christened. And but here's the thing. There's nowhere in the Bible where they ever baptized a baby. There's not one single place where they ever baptized a baby. In fact, there's no point in it. Because the scripture says in Acts 2, it says, repent and be baptized. You see, baptism is something that you do when you reach an age of understanding where you choose to receive Jesus in your heart. The Bible says you become born again. And then baptism is an outward testimony of an inward change. So there's nowhere in the Bible they ever baptized children or babies. I shouldn't say children because I have baptized some children. But there's nowhere they ever baptized babies in the Bible. It's totally unscriptural. What they did do is dedicated their children. And I want to read three scriptures to you real fast. That's okay. We have children. We know what it's like. In Luke 2 verse 22, listen to this. Luke 2 22, it says, Mary and Joseph took the baby, Jesus, to Jerusalem to be dedicated before the Lord. Jesus was taken by his parents to be dedicated before the Lord, right? Then in Proverbs 22 verse 6, it says, dedicate your children to God and point them in the way that they should go, and the values they've learned from you will be with them for life. If you dedicate your children to God and you point them the way they should go and you train them up in the ways of the Lord, the Bible says that they won't depart from it. Those values will stay with them for life. You know, we're so glad to have my daughter. This is my oldest daughter, Robin, and her husband, Brian, and our four grandchildren visiting us from California. We haven't seen them in 15 months. And Robin said to me, we never dedicated Jet. They've been too busy. Now, Jet's just three. You're so busy working in church, you don't get a chance to. So we're going to dedicate Jet today, but we're so glad to have Robin and Brian and our family here. And then we have Sierra here with Joshua. And we have Camilla. Aniston Respeto. Did I say it right? And then we have Lily Faith Hayes. This is a miracle baby right here. This is a miracle baby. Because I remember the first time that I met Diane. Diane is good friends with my daughter Nadine, and it's good to have you here, Frank. Frank usually is always working on Sunday, but I'm so glad you came today. And Nadine and Lily are Diana, friends. The first time I met Diane, I said, is there anything I can pray for you? She said, well, I want to have another baby, and I've had 11 miscarriages. 11 miscarriages in a row. And the doctor actually advised you to kind of stop, right? Stop trying. And we prayed. That was in December of 2018. We prayed. By April, she was pregnant, carried full term, and here we have Lily Faith with us today. So, one last scripture and then we're going to pray. In Matthew 19:14, it says, Jesus said, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. And he placed his hands on their heads and he blessed them before he left. That's what we're going to do. We're going to dedicate your children to the Lord. And we're going to bless them. I want to encourage you. The best thing you can do for your children is to be, is to model, to be an example, to teach them how to serve the Lord. They are not going to follow what you say. They are going to follow what you do. The reason that all of our children, I have 4 children, I have 7 grandchildren, they're all involved in church. Robin and Brian are very involved in Hillsong Church in LA. And my daughter Courtney, who'll be here next week, her husband is the pastor, campus pastor of Hillsong LA. My son Luke and Francesca, they're down at VU Church in Miami. All my kids are involved serving the Lord. You know why? We raised them from when they were little. Every Sunday we went to church. We read the Bible to them at night. We prayed with them at night. Train up your children the way they should go. Amen? Will you stretch your hand toward these babies with us? And will you help me pray? Help me pray. Help me pray, Jill. Father, we thank you for these children. We know that children are a blessing from you, and we receive them as a blessing from you. As I lay my hands upon them, Lord, I dedicate Lily to you today in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, may these children serve you all the days of their life. I thank you, Lord, your will be done. Your purpose will be done. I thank you for your angels that protect them. All the days of their life, that everywhere they go, your angels protect them from all harm, from all danger. I thank you that you guide them down the best path for their life. In Jesus' mighty name, in the name of Jesus, we dedicate Camilla to you today, Lord. Thank you for setting her apart. Thank you, Lord, that you will do great things through her life. Thank you for your protection about her. Thank you for giving these parents wisdom, Lord, to be able to train and raise their children in the ways of the Lord, to know you. Father, in Jesus' name, we dedicate these children unto you today. God bless you, Joseph. God bless you, guys. She slept through the whole thing. Do you get a picture of this? Who's taking the pictures? Who's taking pictures today? Did you get some pictures here, Dolores? Come and get some pictures of these folks. Get up close. Come on stage if you need to. Get some good pictures of them. Everybody. Sarah, I dedicate you to the Lord in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for protecting her all the days of her life, guiding her. And I thank you, Lord, you'll do great things through her life. In Jesus' name. Thanks for Joshua, Lord. Thank you for giving him godly wisdom to be a godly father in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, we thank you for Jet and all our grandchildren. Jet, we love you. We dedicate you to the Lord today. I thank you, Lord, that your will be done in his life. I thank you, Father, that you will do great things through him. You will protect him all the days of his life. You will provide for him, Lord. Your favor surrounds him. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Can you say amen, everybody? God bless you. Now, here's a little certificate for you to remember this day. And it has the name of your baby, your child. And then it has a place for you to sign your name. And it says this: Camilla was dedicated to God, fill in the date, at Ascend Church. And we commit to raising this child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you sign that. God bless you, guys. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Jet, God bless you. Lily, give them another hand. Will you do that? God bless you. Frank. God bless you. God bless you. Wow. And she was good too, right? No crying. What a good baby, right? Man, you got it all. God bless you. That's awesome. What a great testimony. Amen. Take a picture of the miracle baby right here. Hey, Dolores, get me a picture here. One more. This baby dress is 80 years old. That must have been great, great grandma's. Wow. So we're 80 years old. We're talking back 1920s, right? No, what am I saying? 1940s. 1930s. Wow. Beautiful baby. Look at all that hair. Get a picture of you guys. One last one. Come on. Come on. One last one. Jet. Thank you. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Amen. For me, I couldn't ask for anything better on Father's Day than to have Robin and Brian and the grandkids and Nadine in with us. I couldn't ask for anything better on Father's Day. Amen. Are you ready for God's word this morning? Say, I'm ready. Bring it on. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you are a good, good Father. Lord, today as I stand and teach your word, I make it known that I'm trusting you. I'm not trusting in myself. I'm trusting you to help me, to anoint me, to speak through me. And I give you all the praise for everything that will be said and done in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning on this Father's Day about the good Father. The good Father. Because I want you to know God as your Father. There's many different ways that we can know God. We can know God as a God who's far, far away, way out there, untouchable, somewhere in the universe. And then we can know God in a very formal way, where we have this deep reverential respect and fear for the Lord. Some people know God as a God who's out to get them. They think, some people see God as an old man with a long beard and a baseball bat, and he's just waiting for you to step out of line and make a mistake. Bang! God's going to get you. They know God as an enforcer. To some people, God is harsh and God is mean, and there's a pressure they can never live up to, can never please him. But those are all the wrong image of God. The best picture that you can have of God is he is a good, loving Father. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 verse 17, it says, you call out to God for help and he helps. He's a good Father that way. He's a good Father. You see, a father is someone who is for you. It's someone who helps you overcome mistakes. It's someone who cheers you on as you pursue your dreams. It's someone who believes the best of you. Amen? The dictionary defines a father as a man who exercises paternal care over other persons, or a paternal protector or a provider. A father is a protector. A father is a provider. A father is a leader and a guider. And maybe you didn't have an earthly father to care for you or to provide for you or to protect you. But let me tell you, that's what your Heavenly Father wants to do. And many people know God as their Savior, but when you know God as your Father, it takes on a whole new meaning. you realize that he's not a God who's far off. He's not a God who's out to get you. He's not just there to point out the things you're doing wrong. He is there as a constant source of strength and encouragement in your life. He's there to lift you up when you fall, to encourage you when you're down, to push you forward when you feel like giving up. That's our Father God. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. A lot of people get their image of God from their earthly father. And if you grew up without a father, I want you to know the Bible says in Psalm 68 verse 5, he's a father to the fatherless. It says in Psalm 27 verse 10, although my mother and my father have forsaken me, yet the Lord will adopt me as his child. And the Message Bible says, my father and mother walked out and left me, but God took me in. The New King James says, the Lord will take care of me. The Lord will take care of me. Or maybe your father, your earthly father, wasn't kind and he wasn't loving, but instead he was harsh and mean and not there when you needed him. You got to make sure that you don't let that taint the picture of who your heavenly father is. If you were raised by a father who was harsh and judgmental and impossible to please and not caring, it's very easy to get the wrong image and think that's how God is, that God is harsh and that God will berate you and that God is judgmental. When you make a mistake, God's going to condemn you. When you do wrong and, you know, that you could never measure up, you cannot let that image get mixed up with who your heavenly Father really is. I was blessed and fortunate to be raised by a great earthly father. I know that's one reason that I see God as a good, loving, kind, forgiving father, because my father was good to me. My father is proud of me no matter what I did. No matter what I chose to do. My dad thought that us kids were the greatest things in the world. He would do anything for us. He wanted the best for his children. And I'm very thankful for that. But let me tell you, no matter how good your father was, no father is perfect. And every father makes mistakes. And there are times where our father can let us down, maybe not give us what we needed. And some fathers, they meant well, but maybe they weren't affectionate. Or they never told you they loved you. Or they never told you they were proud of you. They corrected you. They made sure you stayed on the right path, but they didn't express their love for you. The problem is most probably that their father did the same thing to them. They never heard "I love you" in their life, and they never saw it modeled. And you can't give away what you don't have. I remember a couple of years ago, we went back to Detroit. I was born in Detroit. And we went back to visit, I went with my mom and my sister, we went to visit our family who hadn't been there in years. And I was talking with my uncle, John, just some family memories. And he was telling me how that his father, my grandfather, wasn't really a great dad. In fact, my uncle Kevin told me that his father, my grandfather, when he needed money, he sold his bicycle. He came on one day and his bicycle was gone. His dad sold his bike because he needed money. But the more that we spoke, we realized that my grandfather, his father, had a very tough, terrible childhood. In fact, my Uncle Kevin said, you know, my dad wouldn't even talk about his childhood. He said they never got Christmas presents. They never got birthday presents. They never knew love. So he didn't really know how to give it. And your earthly father may have fallen short and may have disappointed you and maybe didn't give you what you needed. But I want to tell you right now, your heavenly father, the good father, will never let you down. He will never disappoint you. Don't stay focused on what your earthly father didn't give you. Don't live bitter because people put you at a disadvantage in your life, if they weren't there for you, start going to the good Father. Because if you go to the good Father, if you get your approval and your affirmation and your love from Him, then despite what your earthly father did or what he didn't do, the good Father will make it up to you. The good Father will pay you back for every injustice. The good Father will not only help you overcome, but He'll show you favor that will thrust you years ahead in your life. Amen. Amen. When you know God as a father, you realize He's constantly watching over you. He's making sure that you're well taken care of. You know, I get a lot of phone calls and I try and answer them all, but sometimes if I'm busy and sometimes I can't always answer the phone, but there are four phone calls that I always take without exception, no matter how busy I am, and that is whenever my children call me or my grandchildren call me, they've got 24-hour access. When they call, I'm going to respond. I'm going to answer. Let me tell you, that's the way it is as God's children. You can call on your Heavenly Father whenever you need, and He'll always be there to take your call. He won't put you on hold. You won't get a recording. You won't get transferred to a call center overseas somewhere. As God's child, you got a hotline. You got direct access. He will stop what He is doing and be there to take your call and see what you need and meet that need. That's what it says in Jeremiah 33, verse 2. It says, this is God's message. The God who made earth, made it livable and lasting, known everywhere as God. Call to me and I will answer you. Call me and I will answer you. I'll tell you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. Let me tell you, you just call on the Lord and He says, I will answer you. Psalm 91 verse 15, when He calls on me, I will answer. I'll be with Him in trouble and I will rescue Him and I will honor Him. I'm so glad no matter what trouble I may face, I can call on the Lord and He rescues me and He answers me and He helps me. John 16 verse 23, I quoted it earlier. Jesus said, when the time comes, you won't need to ask me for anything, but instead you will go directly to the Father. You will go directly to the Father. You don't have to come to Pastor Steve and say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. Go directly to the Father and ask Him for anything you desire, and He will give it to you because of your relationship with me. He said, until now, you've not been bold enough to ask the Father for a single thing in my name, but now you can ask and keep on asking Him, and you can be sure that you'll receive what you ask for, and your joy will have no limits. Let me tell you, you can go directly to the Father and be sure and ask Him for anything that you desire, and you can be sure that you will receive what you asked from Him. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 32, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, we took our grandkids. One of the things I love doing is taking them. It used to be Toys R Us, but Toys R Us went out of business. There's no more Toys R Us. So we went to Target. You heard of Target? Target, Target. It's your favorite store, isn't it, Nana? No? Not your favorite store? Well, they love Target. And I love to take them to Target and just buy them toys. It gives me joy to do that. And Jesus said in Matthew 7:11, if you hard-hearted, sinful men know how to give good gifts to your children, won't your Father in heaven even more certainly give good gifts to those who ask Him? If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to you if you will ask Him? I have people tell me, Pastor Steve, you're closer to God. Would you pray for me? Would you talk to God about me? And I appreciate their respect, but the truth is, you're just as much a child of God as I am. He's just as much your Father as He's mine. You don't have to go through a third party to get to God. Because, of course, I'd love to pray for you, but you don't have to come through me or some priest or some bishop or some saint up in heaven. People praying to the saints. What are you praying to the saint for? Go directly, man, to the man, your Father in heaven. Go directly to Him. You can go directly to God for yourself. You got a hotline. He'll always take your call. Amen. When my children call me, I see their name come up on caller ID, something on the inside of me comes alive. It brings a joy to my spirit. In the same way, let me tell you, when God sees your name or come up on his caller ID, you bring a smile to his face. When you just say, Father, I just want to worship you. I just love you, Lord. Ah, Father, I want to just call upon you. That brings a smile to God's face. He says, wow, that's my son. That's my daughter. I wonder what they want to talk to me about. Let me tell you, some of you, you have this deep, respectful fear of God, and that's good. But you're in such awe that you don't realize that the majestic God, Almighty God, is your heavenly Father. And he longs to hear from you. That's why when Jesus taught us to pray, he didn't start off, he didn't say, pray like this, O King of kings and Lord of lords, O great majestic creator of the universe. Now, what did he say? Jesus said, when you pray, address God like this. Matthew 6, verse 9. You should pray like this. Our Father in heaven. That's how you pray. Father, I worship you today. Father, I come just to talk to you. This is your son. Lord, thank you that you're so good to me. Thank you that you're with me. Thank you that you're guiding me. Let me tell you, Jesus didn't want us to see God as this powerful, untouchable, awesome creator, which of course he is, but he wanted us to have an image of God as a good, loving father, someone that is close to us, someone that is for us, someone that is on our side, someone who will listen to what we have to say, someone who guides us throughout our life. Some people, when they talk to God, I had a friend, he was a pastor, but whenever he prayed, he changed his voice. Oh God, I beseech thee this day that thou mightest hearest my prayer. Listen, if you don't live in the time of King James, you don't have to talk like King James. God wants you to be you. Are you with me? God just wants you to be you. He wants you to talk to him as your father. And there's something about addressing God as your father. When you know deep down, this almighty creator is my father. When you see God as your very own father, it's easy to talk to him. It's easy to expect good things. It's easy to accept his forgiveness and his mercy. When you know God as a father, you'll be strong, you'll be confident, you'll know your father controls the entire universe. You'll know that your father is concerned about every detail of your life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, look at all the birds. Do you think they worry about their existence? They don't plant, they don't reap, they don't store food. Yet your heavenly Father provides them each with food. Aren't you much more valuable to your Father than they? Aren't you much more valuable to God than they are? Often I sit in my yard and I'll watch. There's a fair amount of activity back there. I have got birds and I've got lizards and I've got frogs and I've got snakes and I've got rabbits. Brian said they sat on the lawn the other day and a rabbit came by and what else came by? All these different animals. Squirrels came by. We got turtles we rescued from our pool. They're in the kitchen now. We've got some turtles. One turtle, his name is Steve. We fished him out the pool. He was that big. Now he's about that big. And we try to release him, but every time we want to let him go, my grandson Brady starts crying his eyes out. So Steve's still in captivity right now in the Barry household. But I often look at these birds flying around and I think, you know, they're not worried. And God provides for them. Why should I be worried? How much more valuable am I to God? When you know God is your father, you know he'll always take your call. You know he's proud of you. You know, as a father, I love to brag on my children. I tell everyone how smart they are, how talented they are, how great they are. I love showing them off. I'm proud of them. Let me tell you, that's how God feels about you. Do you know that? He loves showing you off. He's proud of you. That's my daughter. That's my son. Don't you dare drag through life beaten down. Don't listen to negative things that people would say about you. Don't let your own thoughts or your own mistakes condemn you. You need to realize the Bible says you've been fearfully and wonderfully made. Your heavenly Father is the one who breathed his life into you. He's the one who gave you your gifts and gave you your personality. And when he looks at you, he stands in amazement. People may call you a mistake, but God calls you a masterpiece. Ephesians 2 verse 10, we are God's masterpiece. Say, I'm God's masterpiece. Say it like you mean. Say, I'm God's masterpiece. Say, I'm a masterpiece. Say, I'm wonderful. I'm fearfully and wonderful. That's what God says about you. Now, maybe your earthly father never gave you his approval. But the good father is saying, I'm proud of you. I love you. You my son. You my daughter. I'm for you. I'm on your side. People might have tried to, maybe people have tried to push you down and made you feel less than. But the good father is saying, you're a masterpiece. You're my prized possession. You've been fearfully, wonderfully made. You're the apple of my eye. I love what God said about Job in the Bible. In Job 2 verse 3, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. God's bragging on Job. Have you seen my servant Job? Have you seen my son Tom? There's nobody like him. He's one of a kind. Notice God's bragging on one of his children. He's bragging on Job. Many people have never seen God as being proud of them because they don't know God as a father. They know him as a savior. They know him as King of Kings, sitting on a throne. Let's all bow down and worship, and that's good. But God is saying, I want you to take it a step further. I want you to get to know me as a father. I want you to know that when I see you, you bring a smile to my face. I see each one of you as one of my favorite children. I don't know about you, but I just have this attitude. I feel like I'm God's favorite child. I mean, God's so good to me. It's like, Lord, I'm your favorite child. My youngest daughter, Courtney, will be here next Sunday. When she was 7 years old, she said, Dad, am I your favorite child? And I said, Courtney, she was seven. You're my favorite seven-year-old. She told all her sisters and brothers, Dad says I'm his favorite child. And from then on, she named herself the favorite child. She went into my phone and put her number, the favorite child. Let me tell you, God wants you to see yourself as the favorite child. Are you with me? Have you noticed as parents, we think our children are the greatest, the smartest, the most talented, the most beautiful? I mean, I've had some parents, none today. But I've had some parents show me their new baby. They're so proud, beaming with joy. They're so happy to show off the new baby. They say, look how beautiful she is. And I say this respectfully. That baby can be as ugly as can be. All dried up, head not proportioned, drool coming out its mouth. Doesn't matter. Those parents think it's the most beautiful baby that's ever been born. Right? Why? Because parents see their own children differently to the way other people see their own children. Can I tell you, your heavenly father is crazy about you. He thinks you're amazing. He loves showing you off. Have you seen my son? Have you seen my daughter? Maybe you say, Pastor Steve, God couldn't see me that way. I've made mistakes in my life. I've lived a rough life. I've got some bad habits. I've done some wrong things. Listen, my children aren't perfect. They've made mistakes, but nothing they've ever done has changed the way I feel about them. I may not always be proud of their actions, but I'm proud of them. And as a parent, I naturally have more mercy on my own children than I do on anybody else's children. I take up for them. I won't condemn them. I'll forgive them and help them do better next time. Other people may condemn you when you make mistakes. Your family, your friends may judge you, make you feel guilty. But let me tell you, your heavenly Father will always see you in a different light. He'll always be more merciful, more understanding, more forgiving. I have that image of God. My Father, no matter what I do, I know he forgives me. I know he's merciful. I know he's for me. Amen? You know, I heard the story. I don't know if any of you know who Dr. Charles Stanley is. But his son is Andy Stanley. Andy Stanley. Pastor Andy Stanley. He's the pastor of North Point Community Church in Atlanta, Georgia, a huge church. And he's an amazing minister. My kids love watching his podcasts. But he tells a story when he was growing up and he was a teenager. He would go to his father's church on Sunday morning, but when his father got up to preach, to minister, he and his friends would sneak out and go to the donut store. And they'd switch on the TV to his dad was on TV. So they'd put on the TV to see the service so that if their dad asked them what was the sermon about, they'd be able to say. They'd say, put on Dr. Stanley while we're eating our donuts. And one day, one of the members of staff at the church saw Andy Stanley at the donut store and went to his father, huffing and puffing, and told him how his son was skipping church and how wrong that was and how he needed to set a better example. And he went on and on and on how he needed to correct him. And Dr. Stanley looked this person in the eyes and said, listen, do me a favor. You raise your son and I'll raise my son. You see, fathers see their own children in a different light. This man wanted him to chew his son out, but Dr. Stanley was more loving and more understanding and more forgiving because it was his own son. It's the same way with our Heavenly Father, family. When we make mistakes, let me tell you, so often people will judge you, people will condemn you, people will put you down, people will say you don't deserve anything good, you should have known better, you need to pay the price, you need to pay the consequence. Thank God our Heavenly Father is not like that. I'm not saying this is an excuse to live wrong and not have integrity and not be disciplined, but I am saying that we are all going to make mistakes. We are all human, and many people are living their life guilty and condemned and beaten down by life because they're constantly listening to accusing voices reminding them of everything that they've done wrong in their life. But you got to know your Heavenly Father doesn't judge you like other people judge you. He sees the wrong. But like Dr. Stanley, he's not going to give you what you deserve. He's going to show you mercy because you are his child. Are you with me, family? The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Wave your hand to me if you belong to Jesus today. There's no condemnation toward me. Another translation says, anyone who is in Christ Jesus is not judged guilty. Do you know why? Jesus was judged guilty in our place. Another translation, the God's Word translation says, so those who are believers in Christ Jesus can no longer be condemned. I can no longer be condemned. What about when you make a mistake and you sin? God forgives me, and I ask Him to forgive me. He forgives me. I can no longer be condemned. When we make mistakes, you need to do three things. Are you ready for this? When you make a mistake, you need to do three things. Number one, ask God to forgive you. The Bible says in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sin to Him, He can be depended upon to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. And it is perfectly proper for God to do this for us because Jesus Christ died to wash away our sin. Thank God, if I confess my sin, the Bible says He is faithful, just, He will forgive me and He will cleanse me for all unrighteousness. I'm so glad that scripture's in the Bible because I have to use it a lot. How about you? Am I the only one? Anyone ever made it? How many here never ever make any mistakes? Let me see your hand. Never ever sin. All those never ever sin. The second thing you need to do after you ask God to forgive you, the second thing, you need to receive His mercy. Receive God's mercy. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 verse 16, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy. And we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. Now, you know, so often, let me tell you how the enemy works. If you don't know, let me tell you how the devil works. The devil comes to tempt you, and he says, you should do this. You should do this. Everyone's doing it. No one's going to know. It's going to feel so good. You should do it. You should do it. You should do it. You should. And then when you sin and you do it, then he says, how can you call yourself a Christian? You better never go back to church again. How can you pray? Look at you, you hypocrite. If everybody knew what you did, that's how the devil works. That's his MO. When you make a mistake, when you need grace the most, the Bible says we could come boldly to the throne of grace and receive His mercy. God's mercy is available, but you've got to receive it. Third thing you've got to do is forget it and move forward with your life. The Bible says when we confess our sin, the Bible says God casts it into the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west. The Bible says God blots it out and He forgets it and He doesn't remember it. So if you go and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I told a lie. I lied, Lord. Forgive me. I'm sorry. And the next day you go back to pray again and you say, Father, I know I asked you to forgive me, but I still feel so guilty about it. I'm so sorry that I lied. I always imagine God the Father saying, what are you talking about? I don't remember it. Because when you ask God to forgive you, He forgives you and He forgets it. And the Bible says in Philippians 3 verse 13, I have one compelling focus. The Apostle Paul said, I have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past and I fasten my heart on the future. See, you've got to let the past go and you've got to press forward to the future that God has for you. Some of you, you're still beating yourself up for something you did 5 years ago. You ask God to forgive you 1,000 times, but you can't let it go. You're living depressed, defeated, feeling unworthy, trying to show God how sorry you are, trying to pay for what you've done. Let me tell you, the price has already been paid. The first time you asked God to forgive you, He did. Now you've got to receive His mercy and press ahead in your life. Can you say amen, anybody? Let me tell you, that mistake didn't change your name. My children have never gotten up in the morning as a Barry, then did something wrong, and went to bed that night with a different last name. No matter what they did, they're still my children. You may have made mistakes. You may have done something you're not proud of, but you need to know this. You need to know this, that you are still your Father's child. You are still the apple of God's eye. You are still His most prized possession. God may not be pleased with every action, but He's still pleased with you. He's pleased that you're still in the game. He's pleased that you're here today. He's pleased that you're watching today. Are you with me, family? One of the greatest examples of God as our Father can be seen in the parable that Jesus told about the prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, verse 1, it says, many dishonest tax collectors and other notorious sinners often gathered around to listen to Jesus as He taught the people. I love the fact that sinners came to listen to Jesus. Not just regular sinners. These are notorious ones. Maybe we've got a couple of any notorious sinners here today? Don't raise your hand. Verse 2. It said, this raised concerns with the Jewish religious leaders and experts of the law. They were indignant. They grumbled. They complained. They said, look at this man. He's associating with these notorious sinners and He welcomes them. They all come to Him and He welcomes them. Look at this man. In response, Jesus gave this illustration, this parable. So to explain, they couldn't understand. How can Jesus eat with these notorious sinners, these tax collectors, these kind of people? How can He have them? How can He have them around Him? Jesus says, they couldn't understand why Jesus was so loving, why He was so kind towards sinners. And so Jesus gives them He tells them three parables to help them to understand what the Father is like. And first of all, He tells the parable about the lost lamb. He said if a shepherd had 100 sheep and one sheep goes away, he leaves the 99 and he goes and looks for the lost sheep. That's what God is at. Then He told about the lost coin. If someone lost a coin, they search through their house until they find the coin. And then He tells the parable about the lost son. So we have the lost lamb, the lost coin, and the lost son. In verse 11, it says, a man had two sons. When the younger told his father, I want my share of your estate now, instead of waiting till you die, his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, the younger son packed all his belongings and took a trip to a distant land, and he wasted all of his money on parties and prostitutes. About that time that his money was gone, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him to feed his pigs, and he became so hungry that even the pods that he was feeding the swine looked good to him, and no one gave him anything. This young man left home and wasted his inheritance and lived a wild, reckless life. He ended up living in a pig pen, and at his lowest moment, he finally came to his senses. The Bible says in verse 17, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. Here I am, I'm dying of hunger. He said, I will go home to my father. And I will say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. This young man was separated from his father because he chose to waste his inheritance. It's interesting, the Bible says in 1 John 2 verse 15, do not love this world nor the things that it offers you, for when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. And the world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. The Passion Bible says it like this. Don't set the affections of your heart on this world or loving the things of this world, because the love of the Father and the love of the world are incompatible. For all that the world can offer, the gratification of our flesh, the allurement of things of the world, the obsession with status and importance, none of these things come from the Father, but from the world. This world and its desire are in the process of passing away, but those who love to do the will of God will live forever. I want to encourage you, do not let the things of this world draw you away from loving God. And if you make a mistake, the best thing you can do is don't run away from God, run toward God. Because the Bible says in verse 20, the young son set off for home, and from a long distance away, his father saw him coming. You know why his father saw him coming? Because he went out every day looking for him. He's looking for his son. And it says he saw his son from a far distance. He was dressed as a beggar, and great compassion swelled up in his heart for his son who was returning home. So the father raced to meet him. He swept him up in his arms, hugged him dearly, kissed him over and over and over with tender love. The son said, Father, I was wrong. I've sinned against you. I could never deserve to be called your son. Have you ever felt that way? I felt that way. Lord, I've sinned. I'm so bad. I don't even deserve to be called. I know how this young man felt. The father interrupted him. Stop that now. Son, you're home now. Turning to his servants, the father said, quick, bring me the best robe, my very own robe, and I'll place it on his shoulders, and bring the ring, the seal of sonship, and I'll put it on his finger, and bring out the best shoes you can find for my son. Get the alligator ones, the alligator shoes. Let's prepare a great feast and celebrate, for this beloved son of mine was once dead, but now he's alive again. Once he was lost, but now he's found. And everyone celebrated with overflowing joy. The only picture of God running in the Bible is where he is running as a father to one of his children in need. The father saw his son from far off because he was looking for him. And the father didn't condemn his son. What did he do? He threw a party. A little later, his brother came home, and his brother was angry. He heard the music. He said, what's going on? They said, your father's killed the fatted calf. He's having a party. Your brother's back home. Unfortunately, many people today, instead of running to the loving Heavenly Father, they're running into the mean older brother. Because the brother was mad. He wouldn't even come in. He was mad. Let me tell you, sometimes when you make mistakes, religion will beat you down and tell you, you don't deserve anything good. You blew it. You got to sit on the sidelines of life. You got to pay for what you did. Nothing good is in store for you. Don't believe those are lies, family. If you'll dare to do like this young man and take one step towards your Heavenly Father, he'll come running toward you with his arms open wide. He'll receive you back. He'll restore you. He'll give you a new beginning. He'll kiss you over and over. He'll put a robe on you, a ring on your finger. He'll throw a party for you, family. God will make the rest of your life better than the first part of your life. Amen. See, a lot of times when we make mistakes like this young man, we bring trouble on ourselves. And then we think to ourselves, I can't ask God to help me. I can't go and ask God to help me. I'd be a hypocrite. I knew I was wrong. I shouldn't have done it, but I did it anyway. There's no way God's going to help me get out of this mess. Listen, don't think like that. When my son Luke was 3 or 4 years old, we went to a barbecue at some friends. We were in South Africa, and they had a pond in their backyard, and they had some ducks and things in the pond. And I told my son Luke over and over and over again, don't go near the pond. Don't go near the pond. Don't go near the pond. But he didn't listen to me. And he's playing on the edge of the pond. The next thing, boom, he falls in the pond. I had to run, jump in the pond and save him out the pond. Now, what kind of father would I be if I said, Luke, I told you not to go near the pond. You didn't listen to me, so I'm not going to help you. You're on your own now, buddy. I'm not going to get you out there. Or let me first check and see if you've done your chores today. Did you clean your room today? Have you been nice to your sister today? No, I ran to rescue him as fast as I could. And it's the same way with God. You might have made the mess. You might have got yourself in the trouble. You might have brought it on yourself. But here's the good news. Your heavenly Father never going to let you drown. He's never going to let you drown. If you call on him, knowing that he's not just God, he's not just your creator, he is your heavenly Father. And when you ask him, the scripture talks about how God will help you without finding fault. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. You know what I'm talking about? You don't come to God and say, Lord, I really need your help. Really help me. Well, you shouldn't have done that, Steve. I told you. How many times did you not? God doesn't do that. Another translation says he will give you wisdom without criticizing you. The Passion Bible says, if anyone longs to be wise, let him ask God for wisdom. He will give it. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but he will overwhelm your failures with generous grace. Isn't that a good scripture, man? There's so many people today that are living guilty, living condemned. They don't think they deserve God's goodness. It's because they don't know God as their Father. They know him as God, but not as their Father. If you start seeing God as your Father, then when you make a mistake, you won't run away from God. You will run to God. With my earthly father, when he went home to be with the Lord 7 years ago, but it doesn't matter what I did, I know I could run to him and he would help me. The reason people live guilty and they think God is mad at them and they give up on their life and give up on their dreams is because they got the wrong image of God. When we mess up, God doesn't berate us. God doesn't harp on us. Those are the voices of the accuser trying to keep us from moving forward in our life. Are you with me? When you make mistakes, God stands before you with his arms open wide and says, come on, come back home. You may have made the mess. I'm going to help you clean it up. I'm going to bring you out of it. I'm going to put you back on the solid ground. Go get the best robe. Go get a ring for his finger. We're going to have a party because my child has come back home. That's the heart of our Father God. Can you say amen, somebody? Many of you, you know God is your Savior. You know him as King of Kings. But I pray you know God better as a good, good Father. And if you didn't have a good Father when you were growing up, don't let that taint the image of who your Heavenly Father is. He's merciful. He's forgiving. He's loving. He's incredibly proud of you. He loves showing you off. He thinks you're amazing. He thinks you're a masterpiece. You don't have to go through anyone else to talk to God. You got a direct line. Your Heavenly Father will always take your call. Amen. I was reading this on Friday, and I'm going to close with this. Psalm 56, verse 9. It says, the very moment that I call to you for a father's help, the tide of the battle turns, and my enemies begin to flee. The one thing I know, God is on my side. I trust in the Lord. I praise him. I trust in the word of God and I praise him. What harm can man do to me? With God on my side, I will not be afraid of what comes. My heart overflows with praise to God for his promises. I will always trust him. When I call to God the Father, the tide of the battle begins to turn. Amen. If you will begin to see God as your Father, you won't live life condemned and guilty and, you know, feeling like you don't measure up. You will be strong. You will be confident. You will be secure. Colossians 1, 2 says, may everything good from God our Father be yours. That's what I pray. I pray may everything good from God our Father be yours in the name of Jesus. I believe, I declare, you will become everything that God our Father created you to be. I believe and declare that you will live the life of victory that God has in store for you in the name of Jesus. Do you receive that today? Say, I receive it today. Give God some praise. Put your hands together. Say, thank you, Lord, that you are good, good Father. Say this. Say this with me. Say, Father, I thank you. You are a good, good Father. You, my heavenly Father. You are for me. You're on my side. Thank you that I can call upon you no matter what I'm facing, that you're always there to help me, rescue me, support me, deliver me, provide for me. Thank you, Father, that you are a good, good Father. Amen, church. Did you get something out of this morning? Praise God. Let me tell you, you really get a hold of this. You really get revelation of this. Change your whole life. It'll change your whole... I've done some of the stupidest things, got myself in I can't even tell you. But I've just run to the Father. Father, I'm sorry. I know this is my fault. Lord, I need your help. And every time he delivered me, every time he turned it around for me, he's a good, good Father. Amen. Bow your head for me a moment. I want to pray for you. Thank you, Nate. Just bow your head for a moment. Lord, I thank you for every person that's here this morning. Oh, Father, I thank you that one person is here by an accident today, but they're here because you love them and you drew them and you guided them to be here today. And I pray for every person that they would know you, that they would know you more and more as their very own Heavenly Father, who is for them, with them, wherever they go, no matter what. While you have your eyes closed and while you have your head bowed, I want to pray also right now. I want to pray especially for anyone who's here this morning. If you say, Pastor Steve, you know, I'm really not sure where I stand with God today. I'm really not sure if all is right, if all is well between me and the Lord. I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I am asking is, are you absolutely sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Can you say you know that for certain? Because the good news is you can know that for sure. In fact, you can walk out of here this morning and you can know that all is well and all is right between you and God, and every mistake, every sin you ever committed, it's forgiven, it's washed away, and you can know for sure, for certain, that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There's a heaven that awaits us. There's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but right where you're sitting, while you have your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray, because I want to make sure that all is right between me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, quickly, right now, just slip your hand up. Just lift it up. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer. Just lift it up high. Say, pray for me, Pastor Steve. I want to pray for you right where you are. If anyone would lift their hand, say, pray for me, include me. Did you see somebody, Tom? There was somebody? All right. I'm going to ask everyone, if you lifted your hand, please say this prayer. In fact, church, let's all say this prayer together, everybody. The scripture says in Romans chapter 10, in verse number 9, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you will be saved. That's how you become a child of God. That's how you get saved. That's how you can be sure that heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, that he rose from the dead, and if you will confess him to be Lord of your life, you will be saved. So say this with me, everybody. Everybody say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much. You sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth, to die on a cross for me, to take my sin, to take my punishment. Lord, you said that if I believe this, and if I believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead, And if I confess He is Lord of my life, that I will be saved. So I confess right now, Jesus, You are Lord of my life. Say, I surrender my life to You, Lord. From today, Jesus, I'm going to follow You and I'm going to live for You. And I thank You right now that I'm Your child, that You forgive me, You cleanse me, You make me a new person. Thank You that heaven is my home. God, You are my very own Father. I'm Your very own child. My name is written down in Your book of life. Thank You, Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Well, I'm going to ask this morning, I've asked my daughter Robin to come and receive our offering this morning. So won't you welcome her this morning as she comes to share just a couple of minutes. And we'll be closing in right after that. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, Dad. Good morning, everyone. Can we put our hands together one more time and honor that word? Come on. That was such a great and encouraging word on this Father's Day, right? It is such a privilege to be with you today and such an honor to speak from God's word and even just for a couple of minutes. But as we come around our giving, I want to share from a verse that many of you might even know by heart, and it's Malachi 3:10. Maybe you've heard it hundreds of times. Don't tune me out right now, okay? Stick with me. Malachi 3:10, it says this: Bring the whole tithe to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out heavenly blessings. I have so much blessing that you won't have room enough to store it. And from this passage of scripture, I can see that it gives us three reasons to give. Three reasons. The first is because God said so. He says, bring the tithe to the storehouse. Bring the tithe to the storehouse. The first reason that I give is because God has told me to, and I'm going to be obedient to Him. The second reason to give, everybody say number two. The second reason to give is to enable the church to do what God has called her to do. He says, bring the tithe to the storehouse, and then He gives us the why. Bring the tithe to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. You know, as we give, we play a part in doing what God has asked us as a church to do. What a privilege. And you know what? Just those two reasons are enough for me. Because God told me to, and because I get to play a part in building the church. But there's a third reason, and it's a bonus reason. It's because we serve a bonus kind of God. He's a good God, and He's a generous God. And the third reason to give from Malachi 3:10 is because to unlock God's blessing on your own life. He says, bring the tithe to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing you won't have room enough to contain it. As you give today, give out of obedience to God, doing it because He's asked you to do it. Give knowing that you are playing a part in building the church and allowing her to do what God has called her to do. And give with a faith-filled expectation that God will pour blessing on your life. So much blessing you won't have room enough to contain it because He is a good, good God in Jesus' name. Amen? Are you ready to give? Okay, let's do it. Let me pray for you as we give. Host, you can come forward. Father, thank You for this opportunity to gather in Your house. It is an honor and a privilege to serve You. It is an honor and a privilege to play a part in building Your church. Thank You for allowing us to play a part. And as we're obedient to You and bring our tithe and our offering today, Lord, we ask You to take it and use it according to Your will and purpose. And we thank You, Lord, that as we do, that You pour Your blessing on our lives. We thank You that You bless the work of our hands. You bless our jobs. You bless our finances. Yes. You bless our families. Thank You, Lord, for being such a good and generous Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And you know, we raised our children, taught them giving and tithing from when they were little on their allowance. They were tithe. Now they're teaching their children to tithe and give. And God has blessed Robin and Brian so much. She just became a realtor, just did her first $1 million house deal. and just the first of many.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So thank you, Robin. And don't forget, there's different ways to give. You can give by cash, credit card, by check. You can give online at ascendchurch.us. You can give by text. I want to thank everyone who's been so faithful to give online, even though I know some of you haven't been able to be here present with us, but you've been watching, you've been giving, you've been praying for us, we've been praying for you. Thank you so much for your faithfulness to give. Amen. Did the ushers already receive the offering? Won't you please go ahead? Is everyone ready to give today? If you're ready, say amen. If you're not ready, say, oh me. Go right ahead. Thank you, usher team. And you can go ahead and pass the baskets, Chris. Oh, they already did. Your mask, I couldn't see what you're saying. I got you. All right. Please don't forget when you go out today, if you didn't get our Through the Bible in a Year, this is a yearly Bible reading program that I use in my life. You're welcome to take them there for free and take some invite cards. Invite someone to come to church with you next Sunday. Will you do that for us? Father, we thank you today that you are good, good Father. We thank you today, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your kindness and compassion toward us. We love you, Lord. As we go home today, we thank you that you're with us. Your angels protect us all this week. Thank you, Lord, for using us this week to minister and be a blessing to other people around us. Thank you for the windows of heaven that are open and your blessings being poured upon us. Thank you for your provision. Thank you, Lord, for your strength. Thank you for your joy. Thank you, Lord. We're expecting good things to happen this week because you are a good God. In Jesus' name. If you believe that, say amen. Well, listen, God bless you. We love you. Thank you for being here today. We'll see you next week, next Sunday. Bring someone to church with you. God bless everybody. We'll see you next time. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.